Letters. Some are exciting, for they lift, others lower. Some letters bring a thrill, others a tear. Here's a letter that's found in Revelation 2, 8 to 12. It thrills, but it also brings a tear. It's a letter our Lord wrote to the church of Smyrna. The name Smyrna means suffering. It comes from the word myrrh. It's used three other times in the New Testament. Matthew tells us in his second chapter that the wise men gave Jesus three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mark tells us in his 15th chapter that some offered Jesus wine mixed with myrrh to help deaden his pain when he was on the cross. John tells us in his 19th chapter that Nicodemus wrapped the body of our Lord in linen and put myrrh in the folds. In order for this spice to give out its full fragrance, it had to be beaten and crushed. This church at Smyrna was beaten and crushed. A real Christian is willing to bleed in order to bless, to sacrifice in order to serve. Like the candle, he's willing to be consumed in order to give light and heat. Like the grape, he's willing to be crushed in order to satisfy and strengthen. Are you? First, let's meet the angel. John isn't referring to a creature with wings, but the word, a pastor. Here he's Polycarp. He was given the choice of saying, Caesar is Lord, or Jesus is Lord. He refused to say, Caesar is Lord, and was arrested. When he was brought to the stake, the governor said, swear, and I'll set you free. Revile Christ. 86 years have I served him, answered Polycarp, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I speak evil of my king who saved me? I'll cause you to be consumed by fire if you won't change, cried the governor. You threaten me with fire which burns for an hour, answered Polycarp, and after a little while is extinguished. But you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why do you tarry? Bring forth what you will. The people brought the wood and burned this faithful pastor. In the flames, Polycarp prayed, I thank thee that thou hast graciously thought me worthy of this day and of this hour, that I may receive a portion in the number of thy martyrs in the cup of thy Christ. Now, let's look at the area. Smyrna was a beautiful city, and still is. Smyrna was called the glory of Asia. It was the model of all that town planning should be. Straight and spacious streets ran from one end of the city to the other. The most famous was called the Golden Street. Gorgeous temples, expensively and exquisitely furnished, lined this street. Smyrna was a commercial city. It has a magnificent harbor that could be totally enclosed in time of war. It was world famous for its myrrh, and it boasted of a big wine business. The fleets of the world could enter the Gulf of Smyrna and find space to dock and discharge passengers and exchange cargo. Smyrna was a religious city. Rome cleared the sea of pirates and the roads of hijackers. The people lived under the strict and impartial Roman justice. So the people worshiped the spirit of Rome. It was called Dea Roma, the goddess Rome. At first, The people worship the Roman emperor on a voluntary basis. It was accepted. Then it was officialized, and the emperor was officially created a god. Once a year and every year, every Roman citizen had to burn a pinch of incense on the altar to the godhead of Caesar. Having done so, he was given a certificate to guarantee that he had performed his religious duty. Then the date would be stamped. Every Roman citizen had to make that sacrifice and carry that certificate. Now, let's look at the assembly. It's not certain when the seed for this church was planted. The circumstances aren't given, but many believe that God used Paul to start this church, for Acts 19:10 says, "All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." But the Christians had an awfully hard time for several reasons. One, the Christian church was small, but the pagan palaces were showy and spectacular, big and beautiful. Poverty in one place, prosperity in the other. Had the Christians made a statue of Christ and put it in the Pantheon, a temple for all the gods, alongside Apollo, Mercury, and others, he would have been received with gladness. But the Christians couldn't put Jesus there. He wasn't a god. He was the God. Two, the social and economic life in Smyrna was organized around the cults. Every worker belonged to a guild, and every guild had a patron god or goddess. The lives of the workers and their families were organized around their gods and goddesses. Many days were set aside to worship these gods. When the Christians refused to share in these things, they were cut off from the job. They were cut off from all social life, and his religion would set him apart to be persecuted. He was a marked man and a hated person. Three, Smyrna was the center of Caesar worship in Asia Minor. It was the first city to erect a temple to Dia Roma, the goddess Rome. The citizens despised, persecuted, and killed those who refused to join in the worship. Four, let's meet the author. Revelation 2:8 reads, "These things saith the first and the last." Smyrna claimed to be the first in beauty, the first in Caesar worship, the first in city planning, the first in shipping, the first in theaters, and the first in libraries. But the Lord says, "I am the first and the last." He's saying, "I was here before Satan, and I'll be here when Satan is cast into the lake of fire. I was here before there was anything to fear. And I'll be here after all the things you fear have passed away." He says further, "He's the one which was dead and is alive." He's not the one who was alive and is dead. That's true of other religious leaders and teachers. It's not true of the Lord. This must have comforted the Christians. Why? The threat of death hung poised over the head of every Christian. At any moment, he could be killed. It was encouraging to know that they worshiped the one who conquered death. And because he lived, they too shall live. In days of old, when much of the world was unknown and unexplored, The map makers wrote over those places, "Here be dragons, and here be fiery sands." But the Holy Spirit wrote in the first sentence of the letter, "Here be Christ." Aren't you glad that Christ is with you every moment of every day and every hour? He says, "Lo, I am with you always." He promises, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Tell me, is Christ in your heart? He isn't? Then receive him now, won't you?